Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
What's up, people?
Woo!
It's the Rev Spiro, and this is another episode of Eating Disorder. Here with Paul Gerard, Adam Velez.
How
we got
doing?
A full house today. And the theme of today's show is seems to be there's this little myth going around that people think it's the easiest thing in the world to create a career about opening a restaurant.
I had my father pass away 2 months ago, and he gave me $30,000, and I decided to open a restaurant. And my theme is alfalfa sprouts. I'm a big fan of sprouts, and
my
sprouts
friends love
colors.
My dinner parties.
I know they
love it.
I'm thinking of opening a restaurant in Chelsea. If you're familiar with Chelsea, it's named after a seashell named Chell. It's a brilliant thing, isn't it? So how do we feel about this?
It's
gentlemen?
A great thing. You can tell that when restaurant owners and bar owners come here, that Adam has been imbibing.
Oh my God, man,
he's joining in.
I have no choice.
Started early today.
I have no choice.
Well, and we
it is a crazy thing, man. People, they everybody thinks that it's
easy.
It's easy.
It's not easy being green. It's not so easy getting
so
green.
It really is something I'm looking forward to addressing. Especially we have a good crew here today.
Yeah, we got a great crew here today. We got a full house, but right
full
in the
house.
Studio right now we got Montana Mosbeck,
Danny Tanner Mosbeck.
What's up?
Who's in my full house?
And Nate Cortland, our buddies from the neighborhood. Montana and Nate are opening a great place called Montana's Trail House.
Awesome.
Montana's also in a great band called Tournament, who happens to be playing tonight.
Awesome.
At the where?
Tonight.
Tonight.
St. Vitus.
Yeah. Okay.
8:30.
But, I mean, do you remember that band, St. Vitus?
Yeah.
Well, I remember that. I remember the rash, St. Vitus.
Place is almost as good.
Nice.
Nice.
And I mean, the thing is, you guys are, you've been in the service industry for a while. You've seen it. You've seen the mistakes people can make. It's been years, but I also have been in the service industry, as is everybody else in this room. And I've seen every stupid mistake everybody can make when, people open a fucking vanity place.
Yeah.
Because they want some place for their friends to hang out.
Exactly.
Or they open a nice place and then they start, diddling the waitresses.
It's a bad idea when if you work at a place and the owners are bringing in their friends and it's like, oh, this is Dawn.
Of how it used to be, like I started working in restaurants in the early 80s, 80, 81, around there. And back then it used to be, if you could make payroll, that everything was okay. But it was all cash.
Mm.
It was cash. The health department wasn't nearly as bad.
Oh, my God.
Everybody was on the take.
That's the whole thing.
So, you can get a liquor license. You can get whatever you needed, just for a couple
Absolutely.
Of bucks in the right palm, and you were good to go. But today, there are so many different things set up with the bureaucracy, with the health department, with the building department, with architects.
The grade
designers, the social media. It crushes everyone, especially with bars. I was talking to a bar owner recently, and he said, and he's been in the business for a long time, and he said social media has really hurt him because years ago, if you were going to meet one of your buddies at the bar and he was a half an hour late, the guy who was already at the bar would have a beer or two, and he'd be waiting for his friend. His friend would arrive, and even if it was a dead night, that they would say, all right, let's hang out and have a beer and figure out where we're going next. Now somebody texts, I'm running late, meet me somewhere else. And the other guy says, oh, yeah, this place sucks, so we're just going to move on. Mm-hmm. So sales are dropping because of that. 2 years ago in the business, they forecasted that sales in restaurants would be down 5%. They were actually down 10% last year. So they doubled what the forecast was.
This is a result
of
social media.
Why didn't you tell them anything else as they're opening their new place?
The name of the episode is This Is Why We Can't Have Nice Things.
But wait, this year they forecasted that business is going to be down another 9% on top of the 10% that it was down last year. So, guys, tell us your concept,
please. Let us know.
I want to talk about we had some pre roll. We were talking about things. I mean, you know, when I asked you when are you guys going to open, you were like last year. You know,
sometime in like September last year.
tell us about the place first. What's the theme around the place? What's it about?
The theme around the place is it's an old gas station. So first of all, that was just a nightmare. Just getting that. This whole thing rolling, and you know the bureaucracy of just even the environmental study that we had to do to just before we even got our building permit.
Right.
But the idea of the place is somewhere you could go and feel comfortable and walk outside of Brooklyn and be somewhere that you are yearning for. Something like a trail house. Walking around the Appalachian Trail and finding a place that you're just like with your buds, like crushing brews and just having a good time, eating some good food.
Every drink you have is followed by a song from Fleet Foxes, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, sure. Why not? So we got together with like a good crew of people. Got a good. Great dude, Austin Hartman here, like doing our cocktail menu. Nate Cortland's our chef. Nice. Kind of was just the connector to get the whole thing rolling in my aesthetic and this kind of vision of this Black Magic country restaurant. So
how long are you into the process now from the moment of inception of the idea to still not being open?
Inception of idea was probably around 5 years ago.
Did it involve candlelight?
It was over candlelight, actually, where I thought of it.
No, but that's a good point. 5 years. 5 years, and you guys are going at this right now. And when people have this idea, like, oh, I'm just going to open something tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and they don't understand that there's a fucking process.
They have no idea. It's not just a process. It goes from getting your food down to a science. It's going to getting your front of your house operations down to a science. And it's phenomenal. Nobody knows how hard it is.
There's a huge process before that of getting making money. The business plan and raising the money.
Absolutely. There's so many things involved.
Since you've been at the location, what have been some of the things that you've been having trouble with?
I think the shorter list would be what we haven't had trouble with.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Back in my day, but that's what I don't know about you.
The food and the drink.
The food and the drink's been great. Rowan, but the buildings department, inspectors and people, saying one thing, and it is. I don't want to point fingers, but it's it all together. It's communication and really realizing the idea and having that. Luckily, I was there building the place myself, and I was GCing the job for the most part, so that helped.
I did the same thing,
and that being on site every day, making sure that things.
That's one thing to me that is so astounding. I always had a fantasy. I'm born and raised in New York City. I've always had the idea.
Remember, this is about restaurants.
This is about restaurants.
I'm from New York City.
I remember when areolas had wings. What my thing is that my whole life I always wanted to open a restaurant. I have these great ideas, and I feel like there's so many people out there who have no idea how it is to work in the restaurant industry, who have these ideas, who are mom and pop, and they came across a nice little sum of money, and now they're trying to open a restaurant, and they're like, well, what do you know about opening a restaurant or working in a restaurant? Would you want to trail with us? Like, no, but I like crepes.
It is a very noble task. Like he was saying, the thing that I envisioned what he was talking about was being on a long trail, and then you're coming home, like you need that drink and you need that something to eat, and you want to sit with your friends, and after a long hard day of being out, I mean that's a fantastic thing to provide another human being. It is one of the most noble tasks in the world.
No matter how tired you get from the task of it, being a chef or working in the backbones of the restaurant industry, you always find some sort of satisfaction in making somebody happy with a plate of food.
I think the first year that Exchange Alley was open, if for any other normal human being to work the amount that I worked, if I didn't get such a rush out of doing it, I would have died. People can't.
I saw it.
They well, can't hang.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, and again, just to go back to the recurring theme on here, we bitch a lot and we yell and we're snarky, yeah, whatever. But everything about
we love food. We are all about food.
There's something amazing about the energy that you get from, you know, even if you haven't slept in a couple of days and you're putting your heart and soul into something and you feel like you're going to fall over. The lights go down, the candles get lit, the music gets turned on, people start coming in, they start drinking wine, and then suddenly you forget all your troubles.
Absolutely.
You
know?
Yeah, it's amazing. I think the like just the adrenaline of being a part of a crazy service and like just that energy, that raw like let's
raw
get
visceral, yeah,
gritty and
absolutely,
family environment. Like we're going to war, but like we are.
That's what keeps
me
in it. We
are so passionate about every aspect.
Absolutely.
Planning about not what's gonna go right, but what's gonna fucking fall off the ceiling,
and how you're able to deal with that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it's about. It's about excitement.
Paul used to always say, like, he used to have his crew like a band.
Oh yeah, you know, absolutely.
It feels like it's a band environment because you're all trying to create towards something. You know?
Well, they say
that's one of the
exactly
things.
No, and
it's like
no,
food and music
sure
is just like symbiotic.
I first met Paul Gerard and I worked for Exchange Alley, his one of his flagship restaurants, and I was there, and I kind of one of the main things that kept me there was his sense of captainship. It was like working for Captain Hook. It was like things were fucking awesome. And, you know, we had
that was chasing little boys
chasing
all day.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Everybody's asshole was shaped like a question mark upside down. But what it was everything was really fun. And he was such a really inspiring chef and somebody who kind of gave you the sense that you were like not just working for a restaurant, but you were working for a feeling. You were working for something that made you happy and made the people you were striving for happy. So
and I sold my shares, and it's like what they say about a boat. You know, like the two happiest days in your life: the day you buy the boat and the day you sell the boat.
It was an amazing experience. A hole in the ocean you just pour money into.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, that's a horse of a different color.
That's why chefs and pirates are
what? Are chef and pirates are
rated.
Yeah, it's the life in a galley.
Rated.
It is an amazing thing, and it's wholly fulfilling. But everybody keeps saying to me, "So you're going to do it again?" And I said, "You know, I don't know. You don't ask somebody as they're walking down from Mount Everest, like you're going back up."
Yeah.
You know, like, I think I'm going to hang out down here for a little while.
This is why we can't have
it looks
nice
good
things
down here too. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, how are you guys feeling about the process now? How long do you think till you open?
Well, probably around another 2 months. We are built out, ready to go. We got a couple more inspections.
Oh my God! Let's talk about inspections. Let's talk about how that hinders whether or not a restaurant makes it or breaks it. They always talk about location, location, location.
We're also talking about the grading, which we're going to get into.
Gradings,
in a second.
Man,
yeah.
Gradings are crazy. Yeah. How do you guys feel about that? Are you guys have any pretension? Any are you reserved as a result?
Let me just start by saying, if a restaurant like Per Se,
we're saying Per Se, not the actual restaurant.
Gets a C.
I think he's talking about the restaurant.
No, I believe he is. I want to say that.
It just happened. It's outlandish, and it's great that actually
it's
a lot
insane
of people are opening their eyes to the fact that that is absolutely ridiculous.
Is that what makes or breaks a restaurant? Is that the main deal?
Not necessarily.
No, it's fucking extortion. Is what
it
is. I'm sorry.
It is.
I'm not working on
it.
It's fucking extortion.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It is.
Some people do just see that letter though, and are ridiculously blinded by that.
I'll walk away from it.
The turkey's nest.
I won't eat at a place.
Stop. The turkey's nest got a fucking A. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
God bless.
You look at places down in Chinatown, and you know they're not nearly as clean as Per Se.
It's so simple. You want ground beef. The ground beef fall on the floor. You pick it up off the ground. It's a ground beef. It's special. It's so special. It's a special dish.
So simple.
All right.
Well, we are wrapping up this half. Guys, thanks. You're going to stick around with us for a little while. We're going to our next guest.
Yes.
And we're actually going to play a little bit of Montana's band.
Okay.
What song are we going to hear?
This is Scattered by Tournament.
Awesome.
Nice. Check it out.
I got to go. following is an actor reading an actual customer email from Heritage Foods USA.
My family and I enjoyed the Heritage Turkey. It was far superior to the regular mass-produced turkeys in terms of flavor and texture. Absolutely delicious and worth the difference in price. We will never go back to the regular turkeys. It made our holidays more enjoyable. Thank you, Heritage Foods USA.
Heritage Foods USA hopes you had a great holiday season. For more specials on pork, beef, and other meats, visit www.heritagefoodsusa.com.
Where's the butter knife when you need one?
What's that?
Oh.
Thank
you. No, you want it?
Hey, we're back.
Welcome back.
How you doing?
This is Still Eating Disorder, and I'm still here with Paul Gerard and Adam Velez. And again, the theme of the show has been about starting your own place, the challenges thereof. You know, we brought some new guests into the fray. Our friend Chris Young from the Commodore.
Yes.
Great place here in Williamsburg.
Great place.
Over on Metropolitan and Havemeyer. And Steve Pang, who also happens to be my drummer in Guilty Gorilla.
Guilty Gorilla.
One of the owners of Otto Shrunken Head, an awesome rock and roll tiki bar on 14th Street between A and B.
Welcome, fellas.
So, you know, I mean, the theme
Thanks
has... Yeah, yeah. The theme has been that, you know, people think it's so easy to start a restaurant, and then the idea of the whole service industry is so appealing to so many people because, hey, look, we all love food, right? It's also, look, let's be honest, it's a glamorous industry. It is, and when it comes down to, you know, you meet a lot of people. People look up to you. People look at you as somebody providing some level of joy and comfort and love to some level, but it's a grind.
But we're talking about what makes a successful restaurant, yeah. Whether it be location.
That's the thing. You know, it used to be just location.
Yes.
But, you know, now there are so many different factors involved in
exactly.
It. Like, how do you feel about it with the Commodore?
Well, we were lucky enough to have a good location, for sure, being so central in Williamsburg. But I've seen people create destinations out of places that I never thought that they could do, and
right. Well, totally look at Roberta's.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, sometimes that's the best thing to do is to go a place where it's needed.
But are people willing to go out of their way and to go into these little gems that are located?
Well, now they want that more than ever.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, they want to be privy to something that nobody else knows about. You know,
it's all about special. I'm special.
What do you think? What has affected you the most, or what's one of the biggest things that jumps out at you as a business owner, a restaurant owner?
In terms of
anything, I mean, is it wholly satisfying to you? Is it challenging? Yeah. What are your hardships?
What do you find to be hindrances in your success?
Just the standard stuff I think that everybody deals with: fire department, health department, stuff like that. Again, I mean, we've been pretty lucky with location and stuff like that.
Well, I just want to. Yeah, I also want to. We were talking again back to the pre-roll. You know, there's always things you don't expect. You know, and that one situation where you had with your backyard was pretty interesting. I mean, you know, when it comes down to neighbors sometimes, you know?
Yeah. We had a neighbor who lived upstairs from us who threw firecrackers out his window a couple of times.
Was he the same neighbor from Boogie Nights with the little Vietnamese boy prostitute?
This is my favorite part of the song. This is my favorite part of the song, man.
It might have been.
Jesse's girl.
He threw them at a crowd of people outside your place?
Yeah, he threw firecrackers into our backyard.
This
I guess
is why
he thought
we can't
people
have
were
nice
making
things.
Too much noise instead of coming down and saying, hey.
Did you go upstairs and kick his ass?
The third time he actually threw cayenne pepper. We thought that he had pepper sprayed.
Really?
People came running out. They were like, throats were burning. Their eyes were burning.
Bale
we figured out
spray.
Ready he had just thrown a giant thing of cayenne pepper back there. I called the cops. They didn't do anything about it.
You know, the most 311 calls about noise complaints come from fucking Williamsburg.
Really?
Yeah. These fucking, like, little 20-something hipsters, man. And, you know, like, I mean, back in the day, you'd go and join the party. You know, no, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, they're trying to introduce something called melted cheese.
What the fuck did you move to New York City for,
well,
man?
Well, it's also,
you
know, like,
it's after 10.
Yeah, this and your bar's been here for 10 years, but I just moved upstairs, and now I'm going to call 311 on you.
You move upstairs from a bar. I mean, what the fuck? I had a chick who was living upstairs from my place, and she was calling all the time. You know, it's, you know, I have to get up early. I have to get up early. Like, what the fuck? You just moved into the East Village above a fucking restaurant. You know, what do you expect?
Yeah. There's a bunch of other places you could live.
How do you feel about Yelpers?
Oh, my God. The unspoken
I have something to say about that, too, yeah.
Juggalos to the ICP health department.
Well, that's a horse of a different color.
When we first opened, you know, I would kind of go into, like, a K-hole reading the reviews. Kind of, like, get in there, and it's like you kind of can't get back out. And then I finally just decided, whatever. We've had some pretty funny ones. People beat up on us because you have to order from the bar. Services can be kind of slow sometimes, so...
It's amazing. Wouldn't you love to go to their jobs and yelp their fucking
jobs? Oh, my God.
Because that's when they're writing the reviews. They're at work when they're writing the fucking reviews.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous, but it's funny. One of them, one of my buddies who bartends there, somebody called him a low-rent Grizzly Adams on Yelp.
But then again, did he have a beard, is what we're asking.
I mean, it was so fitting. I was kind of...
What made you get into the business?
You know, my dad owned a bar when I was a kid, and I started washing dishes in a restaurant when I was 16, and I just have worked in restaurants my whole life, so it just sort of made sense.
That's how it starts. That's how it starts. It's either you were, you know, you grew up in the business, you knew you had some sort of understanding about it, but my thing is people who kind of just join it, like, you know, Helen and Mitch from Long Island, who are like, we just came across some money, we decided to open a coffee shop in Chelsea.
Yeah, they're going
to
need some help.
I'm a big fan of alfalfa sprouts.
Well, okay, back to the whole noise thing, the complaints thing. But Steve, you've had some experience, and again, also some of the more unexpected things that, you know, you Steve doesn't come from the bar industry. He doesn't. He actually comes from the music industry and the publishing industry. You know, and you started out of Shrunken Head, out of Deb Parker's old place, Beauty Bar.
Barmacy.
Sorry about that. Yeah, and you know, there's been some interesting situations that I don't think you might have expected. I mean, there was one specific situation.
The infamous photo booth incident. Yeah. We have an old style photo booth that shoots black and white film, and one day a customer decided that he couldn't wait to use the men's room and decided to leave a big old dookie.
I do declare, Mr. Bartical.
Exactly.
I do declare.
The photo booth, and I don't know if there were pictures of it, but...
This is why we can't have nice things.
Well, yeah, see.
And then, exactly. And
speaking about Yelp and online, I did not leave him alone about the poop in the photo booth for months. It was like, hey, dude, I come over to your place and get a picture taken, but I hear they come out like crap.
Yeah. What about...
And they
what
came
about,
in and he got a C. Yeah.
Exactly. Per se. No, but what about those places? Like, for instance, you know, I live in Long Island City for a few years, and I live in Astoria. And I found one thing I was never short of was the fact that you have these restaurants that open up that have more flat screen TVs than they do a menu, you know. So what do you feel about that? What do you feel about flat screen TVs and karaoke night and all these special kind of like gimmicks that restaurants have?
It's anybody's choice, but at this point with the way the rents are, the way labor is, I mean, you get fucking crushed on labor, man.
But
you know,
don't you
and labor
find,
is a big thing.
Don't you find that once you see gimmicks, once you see these little
yeah, but that's what everybody is trying to do something. You know, if they're not putting up TVs, they're trying to invent the fucking Corona.
Yeah. No.
No, because time,
it's this neighborhood has fucking changed, and it's one meathead place after another. I mean, it's and I'm sorry, I'm looking at it from
there's a lot more competition. There's a lot more competition. There's a lot less people going out to eat.
Yeah. And then places like those. shows are just basically trying to be all things to all people.
Yeah. I ideally want to go to a restaurant, especially in Queens and Astoria, where Magic Mike's not DJing. Like, I like music as much as the next person.
Stay the fuck out of Queens and Astoria, dude. Really?
Apparently, they have good food. No, honestly, if you're from New York, Queens, you have good food. You have really good food.
Astoria does. Yeah. So if you guys have any, what stands out to you the most in the whole process of either opening the next places, or you know, what's the one thing that you found the most difficult or find the most difficult on a regular basis?
Well, the most difficult thing is just, you know, always dealing with the city and all its horrible aspects.
That's grim.
Always, yes, and it's horrible. I mean,
this is why we can't have nice things.
Everything from property taxes to, you know, DOH inspections. It's, you know, you can, you know, the sink that I had that for 9 years that was perfectly fine is all of a sudden no good. Just every little thing, you know, and I've had inspectors come up to me and tell me to my face that says, look, we have to find something or else they think we're bribing you.
Yeah. It's a Mickey Mouse operation. Yeah. And when did it become that? You know,
it's the only business that, like, as you, like, when you first open it, the first time you show profit and you're like, oh, yes, we made 4 cents on the dollar.
I know.
You get fucking excited.
Those chicken fingers were a good idea. Yeah. I told you they were.
And the health department wants 2 of those cents.
Yeah.
Well, and 2 of those fingers.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, it's also, what about the change of climate in regards to, like, look, there's, one of the reasons that there's so many new restaurants opening up isn't just because there's, you know, mom and pop Mitch and Helen or whatever you were calling them before, you know, showing up with money. It's also
because of fucking food TV.
Well, no. Yeah. But there's an influx of people.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. Everybody thinks that they can be a chef or they have something in them that they don't want to pay their dues in as a cook. But they think that they can be a chef. You know, they watch culinary TV.
Yes.
And they think, oh, wouldn't it be nice? You know, like I was joking about earlier about the fucking dinner parties. Yeah,
everybody's Brian Wilson. Wouldn't it be nice? Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
And but most of those people, all these people, they're not going out. I mean, it just makes it worse for business owners. The competition is fierce.
So, okay, so you guys think it's actually, it is a glutted market right now. Do you feel like the okay, where you are in the Commodore, that became a good little strip, though. Yeah. I mean, you got Fete Sal, you got
and sometimes that's good. Sometimes that's good. But, you know, if you have a business next to you or there's several businesses in the area, that's good for everybody because it brings people. You know, but there's 20,000, roughly 20,000 restaurants in New York City.
Jeez.
You know, which means that you can eat at a different restaurant every day for the next 40 years and never go to the same fucking place twice. You know, and that's how the competition is. And they're closing down like crazy. You know, more closed and stay open.
Yeah. Hey, Montana, how you feeling now? How's it going? Can we make this any?
Again, this is why we
I think I agree.
Nice
high thing. Tide rises all boats, man.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly.
Can we
absolutely,
get back to the for you?
Absolutely.
I don't want to pick. I don't want the boat, but I'll be in the ocean with it.
Well, that's
Mama said these are my magic shoes.
You know, if you go around, you ask people who have been in the business for a lot of years and they've had a lot of different places, they keep doing it, man, because when it's good, it's good.
All right, we got like 2 minutes around. And just starting with you, Paul, and everybody around the room, I want to see if you guys have to give one piece of advice to somebody starting something right now, what would it be?
Get ready to give everything else up for it.
Yeah? Well, what about you folks? Guys?
Save your fucking money.
Don't get a gas station.
Anybody else? What do you have
don't
for advice?
Don't go to culinary school.
Don't go to culinary. Listen, the Art Institute is a fantastic institute.
Well, let's go around. Let's again, go around. 2 minutes. 2 minutes.
And
hire the right people.
In addition to that, definitely don't go to bartending school.
Oh, man, I went to bartending school. But I was only 17
years old.
You'll
get your grade no matter what.
It's a fantastic business.
I dropped out of bartending school.
Everything that you think you know, you need to know a hell.
Bartending school is the equivalent of the X-Files. It's like you have one Agent Scully and one Agent Mulder.
Yeah, you want to believe.
Forget who you are.
Okay, well, for those people out there that really do have the dream and, you know, want it to happen and will give up everything, we want you to do it, and we want you to do it right.
Yeah.
For those of you that just, you know, got a couple of bucks from your trust fund and you don't have anything else to do with it,
don't do it. Fucking open a book club. Talk to Oprah.
Donate
find
that money.
And we're wrapping it up, folks. This has been Eating Disorder.
Too
thank
bad we didn't
you
have
all
more
for
time.
Coming, guys.
We just touched the tip of the iceberg on this one. Thank you, everybody.
Woo-hoo, later on.
Thank you. Guys.
Have a good night.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.